We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll pick up in verse 12. This is the dedication of the temple. Solomon's finished it. David wanted to do it, but God told David, you can't do it because you've been a man of bloody hands. He said, you've killed a lot of people, David. I'm not going to allow you to do it. God wouldn't let King David do something. He didn't allow him to that David wanted to do. But David didn't pout about it. He helped prepare his son to be able to do it. There's a good lesson in that alone right there. He got all the material ready for it. Much of it, he collected it, and he had it ready, so when the time came, they could do what God wanted to. There's an application even in that towards our missions conferences. We give towards this. We put money away and we give towards the missionaries so that they can do something that maybe we can't. We can't all go to the foreign mission field, but we can put away for it. But we find ourselves here. Solomon's finished the building of the temple. And there's great rejoicing. And then the Lord appears to Solomon and speaks to him. In verse 12 it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Again, to verse 14 is a well-quoted verse. But if you look at the end of verse 13, there's a semicolon, meaning the sentence continues. So it says, if all this happens, if I send a pestilence among my people, if there's no rain, the land's devoured, everything's dying. He goes on to say, if my people, which are called by my name, wouldn't that be us today? I know he's speaking to Israel here. But we're his people today. We're called by his name today. We say we're Christians. That's the name of Christ. The name of God. We belong to Christ. As if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked and do according to all that I have commanded thee and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Lord, we come to you asking you to help us learn from this warning that you gave to the nation of Israel, the dedication of the temple. When they were on a spiritual high and things were going good, Lord, and they were just excited to serve you. And right there in the midst of that great victory, Lord, you warned them. And God, I'm excited about the things that you're doing in this church, about the way that you're working in people's lives, God, and everything that's happening here. I truly am. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. And I feel that we're on a spiritual high. But God, I believe we need this warning. Because it's so easy when things are going good to slack. To just let that spiritual high lead us, God, instead of faithfully, consistently walking with you. Lord, help us learn from this example, please. Help us be willing to follow it, Lord, in our own lives. And open our hearts. Shine on our hearts the things that we're doing wrong. Please, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night. He said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Solomon was walking with God. Solomon was asking God, God, show me. I need some help. I want you to work. He was praying to God. And God said, I've heard thy prayer. That's encouraging right there. God hears our prayer. Sometimes the problem is, though, we don't pray. We don't pray. Guilty. Guilty. We don't pray like we should. We neglect it. Why? Because prayer is work. I'm just telling you, it's work. If you ever tried to do it, it's work. And I'm not talking about just praying for your meal. I'm talking about getting down to business with God where you spend a half hour, hour, 2 hours talking to God. It's work. But Solomon was praying and he was seeking God. And see, that's where we need to start. That's where we can prevent all of this bad stuff from happening that God talks about if we'll just stay close to Him, if we'll just stay next to Him in communion, if we'll just follow Him. And it doesn't mean bad things won't happen, but I'm talking about this judgment that God says is going to come on this land. If you turn from me, those things won't happen. We can keep God's hand of blessing on this nation. And we're fooling ourselves if we think we're not a blessed nation. As bad as things are getting, we are still absolutely blessed. God has done so much for us. We still have so much. We still have so many liberties. I can see them slipping away, but we are blessed in this nation. And I want to keep it like that. Amen. I don't want to suffer persecution. I don't. I don't want to go through those things. Brother Iommi's gone through. Brother Fox that we support there in Haiti, they're doing satanic rituals outside of his house because they know he's the white preacher man. Praying to the devils to curse him right outside of his house. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want God's hand over us, protecting us. Keeping us safe. That's what I want. So if we keep our walk with God close, we're going to hear from God. God will answer. That's what happened with Solomon. I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now, all that's been taken care of for us. The Lord did that. So you know where the temple is today? Who knows where the temple is today? That's right. There is one. That's right. Our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know you not that you're not your own? If you're bought with a price... See, God lives inside of us. God dwells inside of us. Today, the Christian is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says in verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And then he goes into verse 14, the very popular verse, and he's telling us, here's the reason why I would do this, why I'd send the locusts, why I'd send the pestilence, why the land would be devoured. He says, it's because you have turned to wickedness. And we better recognize that in our own lives. It's easy to point it out in everybody else's life. It's easy to look at Hollywood and point it out at Hollywood and how wicked Hollywood's gotten and you know, the abortion industry and sodomite marriage. Those things are easy. But we don't want to look at the idolatry in our lives. We don't. I don't like to. I don't like to look at what I'm doing wrong. Anybody else enjoy that? I don't enjoy it, but I need it. Amen. I absolutely need it. And that's what God's saying right here. Hey, if my people, which are called by my name, he says, start with you. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It has to start right here. It can't start anywhere else. Why would we expect lost people to do right? Don't expect lost people to do right. When lost people do something wicked, I say, that figures. Because that's what they're going to do. That's what I did when I was lost. Don't expect them to live to the standard that we should have, that a Christian should. Because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost living inside of us. We have the Holy Ghost guiding us, teaching us. The Bible says He'll teach you all things. I'm going to send my comforter. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to guide you into all truth. They don't have that. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them which perish. This is foolish. Why are you going to church so many times a week? Why are you going twice on Sunday? I mean, you're going to be there Friday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday? What is wrong with you? That's what the world thinks. I mean, I didn't care for church. When I was lost, I never wanted to go to church. Never. I didn't want to be in church. A Catholic church bored me to death. To death. I remember as a kid sitting there just like, you know, I mean, I'm playing with my mom's hands, and I knew, man, once they did the mass and everyone went down, I was like, yes, I'd get excited. I'd be like, it's like 5-10 minutes left. All right, we're almost done. I remember thinking that. We're almost done. I'm almost out of here. I couldn't stand it. As I became an adult or got older, I'm not going to church. I don't need that. I didn't even understand anything that was happening. Why do we do all this stuff, all this kneeling, sitting, standing? I didn't understand any of it. Just looking at the old people that know what to do. Just, oh, it's time to kneel down. Time to stand up. Time to sit down. Time to kneel down. I didn't care for any of it. And I went after the pleasures of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what lost people are going to do. That's why God says, hey, judgment must begin at the house of God. If my people, which are called by my name, he's talking to us. We have to be willing to get right. Stop defending our sin. And I'm not saying anyone in here is doing that. Maybe you are. I don't know. Stop. Okay, let me throw this one out there then. Maybe we're not defending our sin, but stop thinking it doesn't apply to you. That's another good one Christians do. They think, well, he's not preaching to me. Yeah, I am. Stop defending your sin. Stop excusing it. Stop thinking, oh, not me. No, well, I did that because of this. Stop making excuses for it. Just go to God. Look, if we want God's hand to stay on this nation, he says, hey, you got to humble yourself. Stop standing there in your pride thinking everything you do is right. And you never do wrong. And the wrong that you do, oh, it's just a little fib. No. You're a liar. It's just a little alcohol. No. It's called being a drunkard. It's just a little adultery. See, some sins we get it. We're like, oh, you don't do that. But other sins, well, it's okay. Oh, my lust, that's not a big deal. My envy over that other lady, that lady I work with, that girl in school. Oh, that guy who beat me on the basketball court. That person at work that got a raise and I didn't, and I work harder than them. That's wickedness. Envy, jealousy. Greed. Always wanting more, wanting that next thing. Going after it, chasing it. Hey, that American dream. That's wickedness. We got to humble ourselves and recognize that those things exist in our lives. They're very real in our life, and we have to be willing to turn from them. God says, my people, not the lost, my people. I'm going to start with you, my people. Hey, our lack of soul winning, our lack of sharing the gospel with the lost, dying world. That's why Christ came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His whole purpose in coming here was to save the lost. And he said, it's up to you now. Go tell the whole world. And just like on Sunday night, we got that light, but we got it all covered up. And we don't shine it to anybody. This is the stuff we have to turn from. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and do what? And pray. See what happened. And pray and seek my face. See, what's he saying here? He said to Solomon, I've heard thy prayer. Solomon was seeking his face, but something happened. This devouring of the land, these locusts, this pestilence came among his people. There was a thirst. There was nothing there. It was completely dried up. It's like God's hand just lifted off of it. And then the judgment came. And God's people are like, what's going on? And God says, here's the problem. You stopped seeking my face. And that's the challenge before us. That's the challenge day in and day out, is to seek God's face. To desire him enough that when you don't want to, you get in this book. Because I'm just, as a preacher, I don't always want to read this. I don't always want to read it. And I'll just tell you, as a preacher, and I'm in this book every day preparing things and studying it, It's harder now sometimes than it was before. Because now I have to be in it and I'm in it every day. I was then, but it's even more so now. I'm studying it more. So the challenge is even that, well, I've already, you know, I studied it for 3 hours already, but I still need to read it. Not just study it. I just need to sometimes just to just get that thing going through me so God can speak to me. And not me always trying to get something. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get something to put a message together. But I need to read it so God can feed me. So God can give me something. I mean, just this morning, I thank God for it, that He was showing me some things. There in 1 Thessalonians, I read through the whole book. And I needed God to speak to me, and He did. He pointed out, He put that mirror on me and showed me the imperfections, the faults there, the sin that was there, and pointed it out to me. But if we don't ever, no one leaves the house without looking in the mirror. I'm telling you, in the morning, probably did anybody in this room leave the house this morning without looking in the mirror at least once? Anyone in here? No? Why? Because you don't want to go out with bedhead, you know? I still got wrinkles on my face from the pillow. I mean, have I got something stuck on my face over here or something like that? Is my makeup straight? Is my hair good? I mean, whatever it may be, we want to check all those things and make sure we look all right. I mean, anybody ever left the house and you got you're like walking, going about your day, and all of a sudden you see a dryer sheet's like hanging, coming out of your pant leg or your shirt or something? Anybody else ever done that? I've done that a few times. You're just like, oh man, stick that in my pocket. All right? I mean, look, because we don't want stuff like that to happen. That's why we look. That's why we have to go to the Word of God, so it can read us, and it'll tell you things about yourself you don't want to hear, and you won't tell yourself. We got to go with an open heart, willing to hear those things, willing to hear what God has to say. He said, the problem was, all this came about because you stopped seeking my face. You stopped praying. So don't be surprised when pestilence and the locusts come into your life, spiritually speaking, and it's all dried up. There's no spiritual growth. The spiritual food's all gone because it's all been eaten up because you stopped seeking God. Look, that's the first step to getting away from God and getting out of church, is just stopping reading your Bible. Stop praying. I'm just day in and day out. Day in and day out. That's the first step. And it's easy after that. It's easy after that. Just, I'm not going to do it today too. I'll pick it up tomorrow. I'll make up for it tomorrow. And tomorrow comes and you're like, I'm busy. I got to go. I didn't get up on time. I don't have time to read the Bible. I'll make it up tomorrow. And now you're like 3-4 days behind. You get there and you're like, I'm not reading all that. That's way too much. I'll just a little bit. And then it gets, the periods start getting extended more and more and more and more. And this is what starts happening in a person's life. And then I'm telling you, the next thing is you start missing church. We'll just miss Sunday night. And it's easier the next time. And the next time. And the next time. But this is how it happens. It's usually a very slow process. Slow as in, I mean, it can happen. I mean, sometimes people are just here 1 minute, gone the next. But I'm talking about a committed Christian getting away from the Lord. It'll happen. It can happen 3 to 6 months. It's just one step at a time, one weekend at a time, one Wednesday at a time. See, why are we here? Because we have to be? No, because we want to hear from God. Because we love God. Because He died for us. He died for the church and gave Himself for it. That's why. I'm here because I love God. I'm not here because I'm the preacher. I was here before I was the preacher. That's what even qualified me. That's part of the qualifications that I could even be a preacher. Got to be faithful. Got to be dedicated. Are you dedicated to the preacher? Nope. Dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated to the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and pray. He says, and seek my face. That means I'm purposely going in this to seek His face, to hear from Him. Look at Moses. Apart from, we could say, really the apostles that got to see Jesus face to face. Maybe Enoch, I mean, he was taken for his walk with God. It says he walked with God and he was not. But Moses got to spend quite a bit of time with the Lord, seeking His face. He was hearing from God. God was talking to him. He was talking to God. You know, when sin had entered the camp and there were some things going on, you know what Moses did? This sin had entered the camp and he threw himself on his face and begged God for mercy. Oh God, please forgive us. Don't bring your judgment on us, Lord. Forgive us. We need your forgiveness. And he wasn't embarrassed to get on his face before God because of sin that had entered that camp. Sin that had entered his life, if you will. And most of us don't ever do that. We won't ever bow our knee to the Lord. I mean, some of us, we need to just get alone where no one's at. As Jesus said, get in your prayer closet. No one's there. I mean, if you have to drive out and go out on the West Mesa, do it. Get alone where nobody's at. And tell God things you wouldn't say in front of anybody. Bare your heart to Him. Confess those sins that nobody knows. Tell God. That's what it means, seek my face. We don't do that. We're so busy in our lives. And we have every excuse in the book not to do it. We don't do it. There's always somebody around. I can't do it. My kids. This. I got that. I got to be over here. I got to be over there. And God says, okay. But all this pestilence and the devouring of the land came about because you stopped praying. Because you stopped seeking my face. So if we really want to change America and the direction America is going, it starts with us. And what we're willing to do. What we're willing to change. You know what it may mean here? We go stand outside an abortion clinic and preach out there. Are we willing to bear reproach for the Lord? Are we willing to do that? Can you... Silent. It'll keep buzzing. We need to seek God's face and ask Him what He wants of us, what He expects of us. And stop worrying about what other people think. What's my family going to think? And I know that's always there. It's before all of us. Not just my family, but anybody. We're worried about what people think. I mean, all of us, we're lying if we say we're not to some extent. You know, some preachers get up and say, I don't care what anybody says, bless God. And you know, we shouldn't. But it's not always true. It's not always true. We should just preach God's word. We should stand for God's word. But that fear is before us. And we have to confess that as sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if we're in fear, we're not in faith. And we have to confess that as sin to the Lord and turn from that. The Bible says right there in verse 14, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's what we have to do. We got to turn from our wicked ways. And it's wicked. Stop trying to justify and saying it's not that bad. I know people that do worse than me and I'm really not that bad. I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm really not that bad, the things that I'm doing. Well, hey, did Jesus Christ die for that sin or no? Because if He died for it, then it's wicked. And we need to turn from it. That means I'm no longer grasping onto it. I'm no longer holding it and carrying it with me everywhere that I go. This is just my sin. I just carry it with me. I'm not letting it go. I love it. I know it's in my way. It's in my face. I can't really see it. It'll cause me to trip and things, but I'm carrying it with me. And as we go, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and we just take on another one, and we just want to carry more sin and more sin, and we're just carrying it around with us. Wherever we go, we're just carrying our sin. Oh, I need more, and I don't want to let go of it. Let me get this one here. And we just keep adding on to our sin, and I need some more. I'm not that bad a person. I'm doing okay. I'm really not that bad. You know, my sin's not as bad as my neighbor's. His is a little worse than mine. See, mine's pretty little. Have you seen everything that he's got? I mean, it gets pretty bad, all the stuff that he's got. I'm really not doing that bad. I'm going to take some of your sin too. I like that. Looks good. I'm not that bad. This is okay. I can handle this. I can manage this. So where's the Lord? I don't know. I can't see. What are we going to do? How many of us are walking around like this in our spiritual life? Maybe I can get some more. This looks good too. You get that. How about this one? This one looks good. It kind of looks like the other one. Can I get it? Oh, I got it. All right. It's looking good, isn't it? We walk around like this though, thinking this is the way to go. And my sin's not that bad. You haven't seen my neighbor. Whew. Man. You know, brother so-and-so? Man, have you seen that guy's sin? He's pretty bad. Am I going to rip off one of those cables? No, I'm good. See, this isn't really that bad. I'm okay. Just falling there. Hold on, I can fix this. I can fix this, God. Hold on. There we go. See? A little bit longer, Lord. And God just says, just let go. Just let go. So I hope your computer wasn't in there. All right, I didn't. No, all right, there we go. He said, just let go. Turn from your wicked ways. You can't hold on to your sin and think you can really serve God. How could you serve God like that? How can anyone serve God like that? I could barely do anything. I couldn't even see. Sin blinds you. We think it doesn't blind me, not me. I'm doing just fine. You're already blind. You're already blind if you think that. It's already deceived you. You can't serve God like that. You gotta turn from that. You gotta let it go. You can't turn from it if you're holding on to all of it. Everywhere I went, that stuff came with me. I gotta let it go and turn from it. That's what the Bible said. Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Turn from them. We're not willing to do that though. We have to. If we want God to change this nation, it's going to start with us being willing to let go and turn from our wicked ways. God says once we do that, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God, why won't you help me? As we're holding on to all of our sin. He says, I can't. I have no room in there. It says of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. God said, I wanted to do something, but you limited me. Because you wanted your sin. And we serve a holy God. Remember, he's the Holy Ghost. I think we say that so much sometimes we don't recognize what it means. Holy means separate, set apart, special. And we're holy unto God. We're separate unto God. He's a Holy Ghost. And we want to cling to our sin. I'm not talking about salvation. Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. He gives us his righteousness. But there's a practical aspect of our life here on earth, and we can hinder God's work in our life. John said in 1 John 1:8, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we need to do. This is what 2 Chronicles 7:14 is talking about. Seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. If we want God to work in our life to heal our lives, we must let go of our sin and turn from it. Seek his face. I want God to do something great in my life. I want God to do something great in this church. I want God to do something great in your life. But he can't if we're holding on to all that.